Thank you. And coming up next on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org, it's the Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides Show. Stay tuned and we'll talk at you.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of bread lines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. Thank you. a song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle. It must be packed with social fact, or I won't love you. Sing me of kings and conferences, Marshall. Tell me of mills and mines. Sing me of courts that aren't impartial. What's to be done with them? Tell me in rhythm. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
And welcome to another edition of this show. I'm Robert Norris, and there's no call-in as ever because we still lack a studio. If you've got ideas about where we can find one, which is a 10 by 10 space, electricity, internet, bathroom should be accessible, and it can be indoors or outdoors. We'll pay rent. And also, you get money if you find us one. This is a repeated announcement. I apologize for doing that, but we need a studio. But that's the reason why this show does not have live call-ins. And also, probably, well, you'll notice less and less live created shows. This is kind of live in the sense that it's being made on the same day of or a day before the actual broadcast time, which, of course, is Thursday, the 30th of March. But if you have any thoughts about clues as to who might be interested in renting to us, give us a call or give me a call at 423-4833. That's the number for HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which I boost shamelessly on this show all the time and hope you will support as well in our diminishing numbers. Or come to the website. That's the other thing you can do. We have a, as you know, if you're listening to this program, you're already on the website, and that's a place you can also leave a message and get more information about free radio. We're still taking new broadcasters, so if you want to be a broadcaster, or if you want to leave a comment about this show or about free radio generally, about something you think should be on free radio, don't fail to leave a message at 423-4833. And hopefully soon we'll have an actual studio line again. We can afford a phone, and we can afford a place to be. We just need to have a place to be. It's becoming harder and harder for us to get that. I'm not sure if that's because the internet's podcasting and so forth is becoming more of an avenue for alternate media, which I think it is. There are very few free radio stations around. There are some, but certainly not so many as there were in their heyday 10 or 20 years ago. But we're still here, and I hope you keep us here. So get in touch with us with your ideas, and we will kick you down some cash if you find us a place. $500 if you find us at least for a year, or access for a year. 423-4833. So I wanted to make a couple of announcements about events that are coming up that might be of interest to low-income folks or just folks interested in issues that impact low-income folks. There's a Food Now Bombs benefit concert with David Rovics tomorrow, Friday, March 31st, at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. I usually call it the Resource Center for Inaction. But they do provide space. They've actually provided space for free radio meetings in times past. And thank you for that, Resource Center. In terms of their local concerns with civil rights issues for poor people and their willingness to hold local politicians accountable, I would say it's pretty much zilch as far as I've seen. A place where you can go to the Food Now Bombs benefit concert, and good for them for opening their doors to throw it there. It's at 612 Ocean Street. It's across from the Hotel Paradox. Doors open tomorrow, 6:30 in the evening. They'd love you to kick down $10 or $20, but if you don't have any money, they won't turn you away. often play aerobic songs on this show, or I have recently anyway, and used to in even greater number. He's doing a punk baroque world tour, according to the flyer I've got here. He's an anarchist and American independent singer and songwriter. Fits go to the work of Food Now Bombs, which not only feeds people and supports political protests and makes poverty visible, but also does some excellent decorating on the post office fence, which you may have seen when wandering by the downtown area. Concerns topical subjects, I'm reading from this press release, such as war, poverty, anti-globalization, and social issues. He's an outspoken critic of capitalism, the American political system, and the arrests of Food Not Bombs volunteers. Though, unlike Mark Levy, one of our local singers who I haven't heard much new from recently, he has not written anything about local Santa Cruz abuses against poor people, and that's too bad. And I hope he cooks up something for this particular 6:30 shindig tomorrow. And I'll be playing Aerovic's Ballad of Eola Park song, which is about the crackdown on Food Not Bombs in Orlando, Florida, later. McHenry, the co-founder of Food Not Bombs and a regular food server both at the Freedom Sleepers and at the Saturday and Sunday post office meals, is he was himself arrested in Orlando, Florida, and held in jail for a number of days there, standing in solidarity, or feeding in solidarity, with the folks there. Then on Saturday, day after tomorrow, on April 1st at 8 o'clock, there's going to be a video showing and study of a documentary photographer, Zani Brisky's film, which is a journey into Calcutta's underworld in India to photograph the city's prostitutes. This is also free. In return, she offered to teach the prostitutes' children the basics of photography so the kids could document their own lives on the streets, one of the world's poorest cities. That's something that I've been trying to make available to folks here. Some of us have also been working on that one. For the Freedom Sleepers, because the Freedom Sleeper protest against the city's anti-homeless sleeping ban has moved from every Tuesday night, and it'll be doing number 91 next Tuesday on April 7th, to a nightly gathering of homeless people that is facing persistent police, ranger, and first alarm security guard repression. And folks need to document this, both those who are brave enough or desperate enough to stay there, and those that are supporters who come down to be helpful, whether by supplying food, clothing, or documenting things themselves with video devices they bring down and posting what they see and what they've seen on YouTube or whatever other places they can go to. Hey, this Calcutta prostitutes documentary is, and it's from 2004, so it's 13 years ago, but one wonders if much has changed. The resulting photographs, according to the handout, are often astonishing, and they're exhibited around the world. You can see many of them in this film. Won the Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature in 2005. It's online as well at YouTube, I guess, if you look for Born into Brothels, that's the name of it, you can find, presumably able to find it. If you want to find it in person, it's at the Quaker Meeting House at 225 Rooney Street, Santa Cruz. And this is a donation-based open enrollment class. So I'm kind of assuming you can go there and watch the movie and join the discussion, talk about local sex working in Santa Cruz if you want, or wherever you're from, and or just listen to what goes on. Again, that's Saturday, April 1st, 8 o'clock. Quaker Meeting House, 225 Rooney Street, which is on the other side of the freeway, on the edge of town. Then on Sunday, when there'll be a second edition of this show, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, show you're listening to, a longer one, there's going to be a Martin Luther King community reading, or at least that's been announced on Santa Cruz Indie Media, and they're going to be reading it at the post office, you know, the area that you used to be able to sort of sit on the steps in sort of a comfortable way, and even homeless people were known to huddle under the roofs there at night. Now it's all fenced off, except for a very limited access area. But apparently they're still going to be doing this Beyond Vietnam speech reading, which is what Martin Luther King gave way back in, I think, 1967. According to the handout, it was a pivotal speech, and it's an honor and a privilege to read these words aloud, blah, 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 help our beloved community. And this is the NAACP's Brenda Griffin, who's going to be doing this. And also Randa Solik of the WILP, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, groups with whom I've given a critical or mixed review to because of their failure to raise local issues, but rather they're organizing for broader national issues, ignoring, it seems to me, local abuses, racial abuses, and the lack of organizing against the war here in Santa Cruz. Everyone seems to be ranting about Russia and Trump, and no one's doing anything about Obama and now Trump's wars abroad, which can be fatal to all of us. And I include myself in that. I don't talk about those wars much either, to my discredit. So those are events that are coming up tomorrow, the next day, and the day after this weekend. Check them out. And call 423-4833 if you think there's any local connection between the experience you have there and what we should be hearing about on this radio station and what we should be taking into account as we try to figure out what to do next around basic local civil rights abuses and issues, and the local need to mobilize. They'll need to fundamentally change the way our police department behaves towards poor people, people of color, and the way institutions generally are treating renters and other folks. Well, I'm thinking mainly of landlords here, but the breaks that large real estate investors are getting, and the kind of direction of the Santa Cruz Shitty Council, as I like to call our legislative body here locally. Break and listen to David Rovick's Ballad of Eola Park.
In the land of Minnie Mouse and Mickey, things are getting icky since the municipality of Orlando, Florida, passed a moratoria against feeding hungry people in their city. The mayor said with a scoff, we'd all be better off without these food terrorists lurking like a shark. So he did declare, Samaritans beware, no more feeding hungry people in the park. And if you do, you'd better raise your bail, 'cause you'll be fined $500 and sent to jail. Yes, if you do, you'd better raise your bail, 'cause you'll be fined $500 and sent to jail. There are many things you can do when you're passing through that are much more acceptable than that. Go on amusement rides, eat things that are fried, buy each one of your kids a little hat. You can stay in a hotel, pretend everything is swell, go to SeaWorld and hear the seals bark. But whatever else you have in mind, you will be in a bind if you feed the hungry people in the park. And if you do, you'd better raise your bail, 'cause you'll be fined $500 and sent to jail. Yes, if you do, you'd better raise your bail, 'cause you'll be fined $500 and sent to jail. have a good vacation, then retire. But if you want to stir up trouble, if you deign to pop the bubble and try to feed the hungry people of the Shire, in such a public place, we can't suffer such disgrace, though the lot may seem a little stark. What would the neighbors say? Where will the children play if you keep feeding hungry people in the park? And if you do, you'd better raise your bail, 'cause you'll be fined $500 and sent to jail. Yes, if you do, you'd better raise your bail, 'cause you'll be fined $500 and sent to jail.
And that was David Rovics and the Ballad of Eola Park. Again, as mentioned before, tomorrow, the 31st, 6:30, free David Rovics concert, although Food Not Bombs would appreciate it since it's their benefit if you show up with 10 or 20 bucks, over at the Resource Center at 612 Ocean Street. So check it out. Our own park, apparently, or some individuals in positions of power, have driven away the burrito serving that was happening. I don't know if actually it was the park. I think it was the levee area where there were burritos being provided for hungry people. I think it was on Sunday. I could have the day wrong. I was never actually a witness to this, but I got several accounts from folks who were upset that it had been cut off by the police gathering with vehicles where the burrito truck stopped in order to, well, who knows what they were doing, but the impact was to the burrito truck would move on and people wouldn't get fed where they're normally fed. Also, I believe there were feedings in the park previously that had been moved elsewhere and out of that area. And you might say, well, that's a safer, more sanitary, comfortable situation for people eating and more dignified. This is the claim of writers who put in letters to the Sentinel supporting the post office fence and denouncing Food Not Bombs for serving there on Saturdays and on Sundays. But in fact, it's much more accessible for homeless people and much more of a community event when it's not more closely controlled and held in an indoor setting that is regulated by some other church or social service agency. At least that's been my experience. It also is a political statement because it shows that there's plenty of people that aren't being fed, that the claims that everything's being done that can be done or that should be done or much is being done or there's no hunger in Santa Cruz is shown to be, you know, horseshit. Just not true. The meal at the Red Church Monday, for example, had the largest number of people that I've ever seen there. I didn't get an exact count. That's a Monday meal at the Calvary Episcopal Church on Lincoln and Cedar that happens every Monday at 6 o'clock. And it's controlled. I mean, I guess they're letting more than 70 people in. They used to limit it to 70 people, and there's so many hungry people they feed until the food runs out, and it ran out on Monday. But in the park, and this was the original point I brought this up, the San Lorenzo Park, there's also a fence that has gone up. There was a fence around the children's playground, which is part of the customary, I think, paranoia about children, but, you know, and their safety. But, you know, okay, fine. Put up a fence around the playground. They've done that at the Laurel Street Park, where you also get little signs, you can't be there unless you're accompanied by a child, and yada, yada, yada. But there was a much larger area of the San Lorenzo Park fenced off around the children's area, and I just noticed that recently. Apparently it's been up for a while. I'm not quite sure how long it's been up, but it cuts off about a third of the area on the seaward side of the path that leads across the river and that separates the duck pond from the rest of the park. Now, this huge gated area in what was a public park, which it's still a public park if you want to go in and out of the gated area. And you see these gates all over the place in Santa Cruz and these fences that have gone up. that essentially are fencing off the common land, the common territory. It doesn't necessarily immediately get followed by you have to pay a fee to get in here, but the implications of feeling comfortable to me, at least as someone who prefers to see less rather than more fences, and also is aware of the gated community syndrome that Santa Cruz is suffering from and is going to be likely consumed by, that is to say, pandering to the well-to-do and the rich, both in real estate and resources and services, severely cutting back on services to poor and homeless people in order to, quote, not enable them, and then doing this under the mask of finding them a pathway to housing is, well, you frequently hear me rant about this on this station, and properly so. Anyway, the fence at the San Lorenzo Park caught my attention about a week or two ago, and I mentioned it again because I think it has to do to some extent with, well, the actual reason I brought it up was not the fence. The fence was sort of collateral damage as far as I'm concerned, but it was the driving away of food servers such as Dennis Adams, who used to serve with his religious group on Pacific Avenue until he was driven, or he served at the vet's hall, outside the vet's hall, and then he was driven away from there, and he served at the town clock, and finally he was driven away from there. I think now he may be serving once a week inside the homeless lack of services centers, fenced off, armed, security guard enforced area, where most of the week the homeless community for which this whole thing was originally set up is not permitted. Let's get down with some of the actual homeless voices or folks who spend a lot of time out on the streets, and I'll be back, of course, not to mention interrupting every few minutes with my own thoughts and commentary. You can provide yours by calling in at 423-4833. As I said before, you'll get a machine, but leave your comments and thoughts, and I'll play them on Sunday's or next Thursday's show.
So I'm here at Five Guys, one of the few customers in the joint. I'm talking with
Swami.
And Swami, you're dressed in black, and I understand you're headed out.
Yes, I am. I'm going off to do the work that my master has set for me to do.
And what master is that?
My guru.
And who is this guru we've heard so little about?
He likes to call himself Jane. That's just the initial.
And is this a local, a yokel, or a guy from out of town?
Very much out of town, yes.
And so you're intending to meet up with James at some undisclosed location?
No, just Jay, not James.
Oh.
Well, there will be times when we'll meet up with him, but that's not exactly the purpose of the journey.
Now, you've been around Santa Cruz for how long now, generally speaking?
Just about 11 years.
And why have you chosen now to desert the town that you've spent so much time in?
Well, it's just like I had said, you know, my master has work for me to do, and so I'm going to go do it.
What kind of work were you doing here in town?
The work my master told me to come here and do.
Just what was that work?
Shining the light, brother.
And how has this light been shined?
Well, you know, by simply being a person who cares more about how the other person is feeling, you know, or at least trying to behave in that fashion. You know, even a person is doing something nice to someone else for wacky reason, they're still doing something nice, and that helps. And you know, I was pretty much trying to bring that message, you know, just be nice, it'll help.
So how did you convey this message?
By being nice, and it helped.
And how, was there some method you used? Print media, video, personal lectures?
Well, no, actually, I took the advice of Mother Teresa. A smile is very important. You know, I'm not saying her words exactly, but sometimes a smile It might be the first time someone smiled at somebody for a week, a month, a year even. And that smile just might be the one thing that helps them get through that day.
So I noticed, I mean, I've occasionally seen you downtown on the streets, sometimes playing a guitar. I think some time ago you would be sitting on a blanket of some kind near the coffee roasting company until, of course, blankets were declared illegal in Santa Cruz on the ground. What have you observed in your 11 years here? Have things changed at all?
Well, yeah, you know, things always change, but then things always stay the same. You're still doing the same thing you were doing 11 years ago, and the city council is still doing the same thing they were doing 11 years ago. Not, that hasn't really changed. I mean, the act has changed, so to speak. The melody has changed a little, but the song is still the same song.
Aside from the cliches, do you have anything specific you've noticed that hasn't, or has or hasn't changed?
Some people are more courageous. Some people are being forced to be more courageous because the situations are such that it's a lot more scary for people now. I mean, but then I took
all those evil homeless people running around causing terror in people's hearts.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Homeless people don't cause crimes. Criminals cause crimes.
Are you suggesting that the massive number of people who are violating the law by sleeping outside are not causing crimes, and what they do is clearly against the law?
But, you know, that's politics.
Our police department says it's the law.
Yeah, it's politics. I don't get into politics, sorry.
So you have an unusual definition of politics and the law.
Anything that is a group of people trying to enforce laws, describe laws, it's all politics. I mean, when it comes down to the street level, it's the police and the people, but it's still an arm of the political system. It's still politics, and I will not discuss it.
Are you suggesting that our police are politicians?
They are an arm of the political form, yes. I am not going to discuss this anymore.
And he's opting out of the conversation. Let me ask you this. Let's put aside the politician situation, but ask, how have the police been treating you?
They love me.
Have they shown this by embracing you?
Well, yes, actually.
When was the last time you were hugged by a fellow officer?
Well, yesterday.
And how did this happen?
He wasn't actually a police officer, per se, but he is a security guard under the employee of the city. And he gave me a hug, told me he was going to miss me. In the past, I have been given tips, monetary tips, by police officers who were passing me while I was playing guitar. I've had many conversations with police officers in the past. One thing that I know for certain is that people, and police officers are people, tend to treat you the way you treat them.
So in other words, if you let them sleep at home, they will let you sleep in Santa Cruz on the street or somewhere where they're hiding. I haven't noticed that, actually.
That's not the application of what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sleep, isn't important at all on this issue, but...
See, you're going back into politics again. I'm just speaking about interpersonal relationships. One person speaking to another. If one person speaking to another person treats that person like a jerk, then the person is going to respond like a jerk. However, if a person treats a person nicely, they tend, not always, but they tend to respond nicely. That's what I'm talking about.
Not that I don't want to be accused of talking about politics, but just talking about this particular thing you're discussing, I don't find it my experience, or the experience of people I talk to, that treating police officers nicely stops them from harassing you in the middle of the night. And that isn't nice at all. In fact, it's health-threatening.
Now, again, there again.
You don't have to talk about this, because you said you weren't going to talk about politics. But perhaps you can talk about this as an independent action.
Yes, well, see, there again, I have to remind you that I'm speaking of interpersonal relationships. The cops, they have a job to do, and unfortunately that job at this time includes waking up defenseless, innocent people in the middle of the night whose only crime is a crime because it is unfortunately against the law. However, these people are still people, and I'm referring to the police. And in the daytime, if you treat them nicely, they will treat you nicely. Even if they have to wake you up in the middle of the night doing their job, they will treat you nicely in the middle of the night doing their job. But unfortunately, they have a job to do.
That is what we used to say in dear old Germany. We had the job to do with the concentration camp. We didn't have anything personal.
I did not say the job was a good one.
You have many provisos, many caveats. I've got to say, the Führer would be proud of you. Perhaps
no,
not.
No, he'd be frightened of me. Because I speak the truth.
But you have said it is only their job, and it was the job of everyone in Germany to follow the Führer. They took an oath to the Führer.
There again, like I say, not every job is a good job.
But they were doing it very nicely.
I'm not talking about politics anymore, Robert.
And he refuses. I say he refuses.
All right, we'll put the this German character wandering in, or pseudo German character up in the side.
So the suit of German characters. Oh my God!
And we'll ignore the bad puns. Where are you headed, Swami?
Eventually, I'm going to be in Spain, walking the Camino de Santiago, a 13th-century-old spiritual pilgrimage route, going to the tomb of St. James the Greater of biblical fame. Before I get there, however, I'm going to stop off and celebrate my grandson's birthday. Yay!
You mean your grandson's mother's birthing day?
Well, that too.
You don't want to forget the women, you know. I mean, after all, they have a small role to play in that whole matter.
Well, believe it or not, Robert, I have actually picked out a gift for her.
Oh, well, what are you going to give her?
some of Santa Cruz's finest consumables.
Not a sleeping ticket.
No, no. But it might put her to sleep.
So, any experiences in Santa Cruz of a specific nature that you want to comment on? That, you know, those who remember you or perhaps, well, had some encounters with you might remember as well.
You know, there's really too many to count. I've had so many wonderful experiences here in Santa Cruz. I truly love this place. And if it weren't for two facts, one, my master has something for me to do, and two, it's just really difficult to live here, I would love to stay.
And why is it difficult to live here?
It's too expensive.
But if you're nice to people, they will be nice to you. So if you're nice to the landlords, they will be nice and allow you to live here, right?
Well, that's exactly why I've been able to stay here for as long as I have. But
your nice quotient is running out?
No, my body is wearing down. I can't do the things that I have been traditionally doing.
What have you been doing traditionally?
Playing guitar, singing Beatles songs on the wharf.
Would you like to give us a quick Beatles song before you go?
Absolutely not.
Oh, please, say to me. Well, we won't get into that.
Why do I need to sing? You're doing a great job.
But I'm not you, and you're leaving. I, unfortunately, or fortunately, as the case may be, am staying here.
Yeah, and well, you know, Robert, I have to say, there has been a lot of controversy about you that I've listened to.
Here we go.
And all I want to say about all of that is, well, I've defended you many times to many people who started bad-mouthing you.
Damn right.
Damn right. And the reason is...
thugs, bullies.
Yeah, your methods may be, shall we say, unusual, but your heart is in the right place.
Yeah.
You
tell that to my heart surgeon.
Yeah.
He may laugh.
Well, I'm sure he knows it is, since he has actually laid eyes upon it. But I really do appreciate the things that you've been doing over the, I don't know, 30
years.
It's
about you, Swami, not about me, you know. Well, how come you're shifting the focus from your illustrious career here, which is about to conclude? You mentioned earlier and off mic here that you're not coming back to this country. You're abandoning Trump land.
Well, it really has nothing to do with the... Well, you know, I can't really call him that, even though there are a lot of similarities. But I've honestly been trying to get out of this country for the last 20 years. I've been watching it go downhill.
Include Santa Cruz?
Actually...
The city you love so much?
Santa Cruz, really... It's a very, very fine example of the United States. It's a wonderful microcosm. It's got all of the great stuff and all of the horrible stuff in a little tiny village. It's marvelous. But it's still a culture that's designed by the advertising media, and I'm ready for something else.
You think that in Spain, which is starving to death because of EU policies, are going to find something else?
I'm certain that I'm going to find something else. What it is, I have no preconceptions.
Will you be standing with the workers when they stand up and demand equal wages and equal rights?
Well, see, there you go into politics again.
Politics, or is that just human need?
Anytime a person stands up and says, I'm going to fight you, that's politics.
What if you're just going to stand your ground?
That's politics. Even Gandhi was a politician.
You're attacking Fuhrer Gandhi now?
I'm attacking politics. It's bullshit. Don't listen to it.
So much for my work.
Yeah, pretty much.
As you can see, the two of us have not always agreed. Any words out there for those who are listening?
I love you guys. Keep up the good work. I know the people that are listening are mostly people who are doing the good work, so thanks a lot, guys. And for those of you who are listening who aren't those who are doing the good work, well, it's time to pull your heads out, guys.
And how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to?
They can't.
Well, there you have it, folks. It's the final farewell from...
The Joyful Heart of Jesus, a.k.a. Swami Jesudas.
Thank you, Swami.
You're more than welcome. God bless.
And Swami was a guy I had many contacts with over the last decade. Again, used to see him sitting on his blanket outside the coffee roasting company. And now that's illegal. You can't sit there, and you also can't have a blanket on the ground anywhere along Pacific Avenue. It's considered clutter. But he often had an infectious smile and very quick on the draw with a quip or a sort of, I'd call his responses cliches on occasion, but they were heartfelt comments and clever comments often. And his smiles went deeper than just, probably still continue to go deeper than just the superficial aspect. They reached to his eyes, and his belly when he laughed rumbled like a bunch of jello, if you will. So he had a sincerity that I often suspected when I first came to meet him and see him. It felt sometimes intrusive and sometimes put on. But as I came to know him, I had to admit that there was an authenticity about him, and is, that made him, well, worth a 15-minute goodbye on this show. And, everybody's worth a 15-minute goodbye, and a 15-minute hello, for that matter. But it was something that struck me about him, and so... Hang in there, Swami, wherever you are. And in honor of the departed Swami, here's this.
You say yes, I say no. You say stop, I say go, go, go.
those beetles look a lot more rigid and, I don't know, constrained and commercial as I look at the video to Hello Goodbye than I remember them being when I was a mere youth and really excited by them. I really enjoyed their music then. Still used to sing it years later. Anyway, don't play much of it on this station, but occasionally when it comes up, it's enjoyable. But it's kind of honky shit, actually. But what can you say? You're tuned to the stream of free radio at freakradio.org. This is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, a show which is archived, in case you have missed a past show and want to check in on us, at the Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website, which is at Huff Santa Cruz, all one word, all small letters, huffsantacruz.org. And then just look for the name of the show, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Click on the latest shows link, and you will get a multiplicity, many, many, many shows that you can go back and listen to if you so choose. Also hoping to post some descriptions of those shows, more recent shows, so you can actually know what you're looking at, or I should say listening to, rather than go in blind. So meanwhile at City Hall, every night there are homeless people sleeping out as part of the protest, and often just as part of a survival safety in numbers action at City Hall, in spite of ongoing harassment by law enforcement authorities led by head of Parks and Rec and the head of the police department and the head of the city manager, Martine Bernal. I'm going to go back to the, however, Tuesday freedom sleepouts that have been happening, number 89, which happened, I guess it was the next to the last Tuesday in March, which would have been, well, actually, it was the next to the next to the last Tuesday in March. And that was Freedom Sleepout 89. I'll correct myself again. It was on the 21st, and it was the next to the last one in March. There was one 2 days ago, Freedom Sleepout 90, which I may have an update on shortly from Keith McHenry, who was there for the night. But let's go back to number 89, listen to some voices from that day. Again, March 21st. I guess that's the second day of spring, maybe?
Not good.
So, hold on, wait, make sure this, you understand why I got to go first.
You were talking with Jared. Jared, you say you had a friend who ran into, or CVS ran into them, or what happened?
He had shoplifted a couple items from CVS downtown on Front Street, and while he was leaving, he had gotten off the parking lot, off the premises, everything. He was running across the Soquel Bridge, got more than halfway across, and decided to stop because he couldn't run anymore. He was tired. So
what had he taken, you know?
It was just some razor blades and batteries, I believe. And so he stopped. He had tossed the stuff over the bridge, and the security guard proceeded to run up to him on the Soquel Bridge, more than halfway across, and punch him square in his eye and broke bones in his face and everything.
When did this happen?
This happened about 4 days ago.
And were you a witness, or you just took his account?
No, just his account. He came and told me.
Does he want to say his name for a record?
I'll leave that up to him, and I'm not quite sure. So.
Okay. Let's give him an alias. Give him a name.
Give him a name.
Okay, Johnny.
And what's happened to Johnny? Has he gone to the hospital? Is he?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. He did go to the hospital. There was one police officer there, one. And another thing that was really crazy to me is he told me that the head paramedic tried to talk him out of going to the hospital.
Wow, and so when he went to the hospital, what was the diagnosis? How long did he stay? What kind of treatment did he get?
Okay, he stayed through the night into the next day, and he's supposed to go see a specialist now because his orbital bone in his cheek is broken, basically his cheekbone is fractured.
Do we know the name of the CVS guy who hit him?
I'm not exactly sure of that, but he's the security guard. He's not loss prevention, that's plain clothes or anything. He's the security guard that's there pretty much day in, day out. You know, big, tall, white guy.
You, of course, have gone to CVS and confronted the security guard and said, "Hey, mister, let's talk this over."
No, I wanted to, but I just, you know, I'm letting my friend, he told me not to do anything. I promised him, I'm kind of stuck with my hands tied behind my back due to him. He told me to just leave it alone. He's handling it his own way, and he's getting a lawyer and everything, so, you know.
Your friend is outside.
What's that? Yeah, yes.
And how's he doing under the rainy weather? Was he here last night?
He was here last night for a little bit, yeah.
Were you here last night?
Yeah, I was. They woke us up. For some reason, they let us sleep until 3 in the morning and then decided to wake us up and kick us out.
And how many were you as they woke you up?
How many security guards or how many people?
How many people?
Oh, I'd say there's at least 20.
And how many security guards?
About 3.
And what did they ticket you or threaten to ticket you or?
No tickets or anything. They just, made us all leave. A couple people they got kind of nasty with when they felt that they weren't moving as quickly.
Was it raining?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were under the eaves of this building.
Yeah.
City Hall.
Yeah. And it was a good night, too. Because sometimes I'll agree and admit that it does get out of hand, and it, some garbage and stuff, and it doesn't look good. But last night it was totally, there's nothing wrong. It was perfect. Everybody was behaving themselves very well, and, it's just...
How long were you there? Were you there through the entire evening?
Yeah, I was there from probably about 9 o'clock till 3 in the morning.
And where did you go after you were told to leave? And did everybody leave?
Pretty much, yeah, I believe everybody did leave. I walked over across to the Greek Orthodox Church and stayed there.
Have people been hassled over there, or are they pretty mellow over there?
The security guard that goes over there is actually really cool. He basically said, I have to come and you guys have to get off when I'm here. He's like, but basically when I leave, I don't know what's going on. So basically he's saying, just get off so I can say I saw you get off and then go ahead and back to what you're doing. So he's actually really cool.
And how long have you been outside yourself?
About 3 years now.
And have you spent much time at the City Hall sleepers protest, either on Tuesdays or, I guess, for the last week? It's been going on pretty continuously.
Yeah, it has been going on pretty continuously. And I've been coming for a month or two now.
What do you feel about this last week's continuous sleep out? Do you think that's a good thing?
Yeah, I do. Because, we're not going away, and it's just the way they're going about it is not okay.
Wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Wrong. Completely wrong. Now, inhumane.
Why would you say this is happening now rather than, a year ago or 6 months ago? Why are people suddenly deciding they're going to stay here even when there's no organized freedom sleeper group?
It's, to tell you the truth, it's kind of like they really almost have us corralled right here. It's like they kind of pushed us to where this is almost where they want us to be. Because everywhere else I can't get away with staying whatsoever, It's not just, at a certain time you have to leave and kind of shift places. They just don't let you there, period.
So, how many nights have you been staying here yourself?
A couple nights a week, two or three nights a week.
And you intend to stay here tonight, of course.
Most likely.
Any comments generally about any other incidents that have happened to you or others that you think we should know about?
Not off the top of my head at the moment.
Any words for your fans?
Keep on doing the right thing, no matter what they, say. Anything that's worth having or, is not easy.
Definitely. And we've been talking with
Jared Roby.
Thank you, man.
All right.
All right.
How are
you going? All right. Of the City Hall area. I'm walking past the City Hall offices on the fountain here, which I predict has no water, and indeed it does not. How's it going, man? And there are also very few notices in the advisory body openings, no announcements. But there is a group of folks that are seated next to the City Council chambers, well larded with bikes and such. So, we're talking with
Mr. O'Neill.
Go ahead, Mr.
O'Neill. Oh, no, fuck no. No, never mind. What do you think about it first?
Think about it. Any reports from the street?
Let me think. No.
No. What you guys report is it when the cops are arresting you and you feel it's wrong? Take back is take back out here. Somebody's still off the hook. You let him know this is an advocate for our rights out here being homeless.
Well, you're your own advocates, but I'll record it for you.
But this man right here, he's genuine. So this man right here, this man can help you guys out a lot with the things that you guys are troubled with up here. Trust me.
And do you have any reports you wish to...
I already gave you two early in the week. I really have nothing new.
Have you been sleeping here pretty much?
Out on the sidewalk, yes, with everybody else.
And how is that going? And the rain on the sidewalk last night?
The rain on the sidewalk, they actually let us sleep here at City Hall.
Until 3 in the morning, I understand.
About 3, actually 4 o'clock in the morning.
4 o'clock, okay.
Yes, and the guy said, he goes, I'm not going to be an a-hole. He goes, but it is raining. And he goes, I'm not that cruel. That was from one guard. But some of them are
nasty boo-boo.
Have compassion, and some of them don't. So, I don't know.
How many folks were sleeping here, would you estimate?
There's over a dozen of us. As long as we were in the cameras, due to set off the silent alarms, because these cameras have silent sentinel alarms, we were okay.
So they wanted to keep an eye on you?
No, because we were in the camera's way.
Oh, they didn't want you to block their view of the pillars. They are very important pillars.
Yeah, it's weird how they got the cameras angled.
It's pillars, not pillows, so to speak.
Yeah.
No sleeping. No.
I slept pretty good last night. That rain, it came down solid.
Now, have you been sleeping here much?
Yes.
Last week?
Last week, and I've been on this block for almost 2 years.
Now, does that mean that for the last 2 years, nightly you've been here pretty much, or has it only been the last week there's been a regular sleeping event here?
Actually, for the past 3 weeks, I've been out there on that front sidewalk.
But every Tuesday night for the last 89 weeks, there's been an event. But I understand for the last week, people have been sleeping here every night. Is that true?
Yeah. And I think the more of us that gather, the more show, you know, the city, and as well as the authorities, you know, that, hey, you know what, this is realism. And not every homeless situation is the same. I had a gentleman stop me over here and ask me, you know, the city is over here trying to tell me that all you homeless people are about the same scenario. And I said, no, not everybody. A lot of us are different out here. A lot of us have a different situation that got us to where we're at. Some of us choose this, but not all of us have chosen to get us where we're at today.
Now, you say that last night you were driven out into the rain about 4 in the morning, is that right?
Yeah, I walked to the store, came back, it started downpouring, and then I was in the corridor, and then the master ranger came, and it was okay. It's pretty cool, dude.
But he let you stay.
Yeah. He actually told me to come sit over here on these benches where I'd be more out of the rain. When I expected to make that trip over there in the corridor.
Now, were you an exception to the rule, or did he do the same with everyone else?
No, they're pretty mellow today. He's pretty cool, Robert. Well, it was pretty cool.
Do you know his name?
No, I don't know. I'll know his name. Who is that?
There's a lot of growling going on over there. And if you wish, we've been talking with
Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you, Robert.
Well, I'm actually talking with Mac here. And, Mac, we talked yesterday, and I've been hearing from folks here that there was a ranger presence late in the, early in the morning, or 3 or 4 last night?
It was the first alarm. It wasn't the rangers.
What did the first alarm do?
Actually, they let us stay in because it was raining.
And again, I want to remind listeners that this is not the Tuesday night sleepout that Mac and Jenny and Jared were talking about, but the sleepout the night before, the Monday night sleepout, that was not organized by any housed or explicit advocate group with a name or a title. But homeless folks themselves have been doing this now for the last, now it's the last 4 weeks. It sounds like it was the last two or three weeks during this particular interview, which was on the evening of, I think it was the evening or afternoon of March 21st. Let's hear some more from Mac.
So that's good to hear, because I heard from...
It was weird because we had to be off the camera, but we could stay on the sides. And we couldn't be in the hallway, or no one could be around any doors or anything.
So they were trying to be compassionate, but not get screwed for having let you stay here, to which I'm about to report on free radio. So,
and after they pulled off, then the cops flashed their lights. The big light beam lights on all of us, and go slow by, and then they go up the sides and flash them down the hallway, and they pull off real fast. They did it like 3 times in a row after they let us do.
They're just kind of they're signaling you that they like you a lot, and they're just kind of waving, kind of blinky.
Like they know we're here.
Let me ask you this, Meg. Do you mind if I play this on free radio? Would you prefer that I not? What's your feeling?
I do play it on free radio. I hope more people hear it and get involved.
Okay, because, I mean, someone is doubtless going to tell me, see, you ruined it for all those homeless people because now they came and said, you can't stay here because we heard on free radio that you were sleeping outside of the camera view, and now I can let you do that. So you should be...
Each of their mind, they still do what they do.
So you don't... Do you want this played on free radio?
Yes.
Well, then, by cracky, I'll blame you instead.
Okay.
Hey, and we've been talking with...
Mac.
Thanks, Mac. The stock market report from Uncle George. George, what's happening in Wall Street?
Trump is down $500 million.
Oh, come on. The guy, he owns the fucking White House. Why would he be down? He's up. He's having a good time.
Because real estate is down in Manhattan, and he has a lot of Manhattan properties.
So what about his Abu Dhabi?
$1 billion in net worth.
Well, you got to go up, you go down, you go all around, right?
According to Trump, it goes up. The value of his company goes by the market and how he feels. So,
well, of course, his feeling is a very sure indicator of what's happening.
Yeah, he has, his feelings can influence the whole world.
What about Feinstein's holdings? How's that going?
I haven't checked.
Yeah. And Pelosi's holdings?
Richard Blum is Feinstein's wife. Feinstein's husband, you know, got the post office in Berkeley from the government.
Finally did. I know that the first that came for the homeless fought that for a number of years successfully.
Oh, then I stand corrected.
Well, no. I mean, I think they may have failed in the end.
Yeah.
I think there was
Now we're losing the post office. They put a fence around it.
It's to guard the building. I was assured of that by the postal officials today when... Was it yesterday?
You smell the piss last weekend?
I understand that there was a mass piss-in. A lot of people were pissed off. Actually, I heard there was a false rumor of a shit-in, which I've recommended for city council, but not necessarily for the post office, because
it's false flag. The vigilantes called for a piss-in, and we had six cops Saturday, and a paddy wagon.
Four. The number is rising. Did you see six cops?
I saw six cops.
Wow. What time of day was it?
That was like about 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Huh.
And then there were two cops in the paddy wagon behind the bank.
Just in case you gave them trouble, George?
No, that was to protect our free speech from the vigilantes.
Oh, that's very...
I mean the Santa Cruz police came out in force to protect our freedom.
As you know they would. They are a vigilant group, as you can tell. I mean, they were there to protect those ICE people. They were
a group to protect us from the vigilantes.
Exactly. I mean, what else? Who else would do it?
Yeah, I'm so glad that, you know, that, like, if we had a problem, we could just wave the guys, those six guys from across the street, and the paddy wagon would appear from behind the bank, and we'd be all set.
Is that the same 75 River Street Bank of fame and fit?
No, the paddy wagon was behind World Savings.
Ah.
Bank of the West now.
Is Bank of the West actually operating, or is it? Yeah, it is operating.
Yeah, Lighthouse Bank took over the old Bank of the West. Bank of the West merged with World Savings, and they took over the World Savings building, and then they gave the old Bank of the West building to Lighthouse Bank.
That's in Pacific and where the town clock is, but it's kitty corner from the town clock and across the street from the post office.
Yeah, it's next to the. It's on that same road where the. I think it's called Knight Street, where the Rush Inn is, and there used to be a paint store next to it, and then it used to be a Bank of the West, but now it's a Lighthouse Bank.
Has the bank actually opened up yet, or is it still fenced off?
It's open, I believe, and the one where its old location over here on Center Street is closed.
Huh.
It's Coonerty's bank. He owns it.
Ryan or Neil? Or
the young one.
Or Kerry. Casey.
No, what's his name? The young one. The Coonerty, Barry Swenson, and that lawyer, the lawyer of that cabinet.
Not sure. The only Coonertys I know are Ryan.
Caleb Baskins, whose father was... David Baskin, and they're the attorneys for the Coonerty family and real estate interests around the area.
Keep that in mind.
They're the oligarchy, the aristocracy of Santa Cruz.
Of course,
Coonerty, his lawyer, And, and
don't run afoul of the Coonerty clan.
Oh, definitely, since I live in the building.
Very interesting. Got that, folks? Anyway, we've been talking with that man about Wall Street, Uncle George.
Yes, Uncle George. George X.
Thank you, George. And with
Viper.
And Viper, I talked to you yesterday. You were really distressed condition. You were exhausted. You were hungry, and you were abused. You looked like somebody had rammed one in your face or something like that.
There was a security guard at CVS because I shoplifted, and I told him I'm having a seizure. He didn't believe me, and he kneed me in my face.
Wow.
And they didn't believe me. I told him I had money on my food stamp card. I forgot about buying it.
So you weren't shoplifting if
no,
you didn't?
No, I was just not paying attention, and I walked out of the store with it. I never shoplifted in my life and never will.
And what happened to this? They called the police?
They called the police. The paramedics came. Everybody came. Abby came. She picked up my bike and my trailer. I went to the hospital. They checked me, and they just told me no more stress.
And are you going to be relaxing somewhere other than City Hall tonight?
No, I'm staying here with the ladies and the gentlemen.
You expect less stress tonight, perhaps?
Maybe.
Now, I know, were you here last night at 3 when they...
Yeah.
Did they actually drive people away, or did they let people stay?
Yeah, they went away, even woke me up. Even they see my medical paperwork, and they didn't give a shit.
And we're talking Rangers, security guards, cops?
No, it was Ranger and cops.
And do you remember what time it was?
About 3:45 this morning.
And did many people stay?
It was like 9 or 10 people on this side of the building. About this whole sidewalk was filled with people.
Did people move into the sidewalk into the rain, or what did they do?
When it rained, we all moved in from underneath the shelter. We didn't care about rain or not. We just don't want to deal with waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning every night, every day.
So where did you go after 3 last night when they came?
Over by the White Church.
How'd that go?
I slept till 11.
And you look better.
A little better, but I'm hurting very badly out of my right eye, or left eye.
Well, call me sentimental, call me soft-hearted, but you may be getting a bumper sticker to wrap over that wound.
That sounds better for me not eating meat all the time.
So I will see if I can do that. We've been talking with...
Viper.
Anything else from the street, Viper?
No, sir.
Thank you.
We're talking with... Keith McHenry.
Keith, you're here at Food Not Bombs, and you're about to organize a massive riot downtown?
No, we're just assuming there'll be a massive riot downtown.
Now, wait, against what? Against whom? And why would people in Santa Cruz do that?
Because they're, sick of cops and sick of rich people and things like that, and sick of being screwed and desperate to get a loaf of bread. I mean, we ran out of bread even. You know, it's like we didn't even make it to 8 o'clock, and we had this much more food than we normally had. We made extra food today, and we still ran out. All you need is a couple of cops jacking people up more than they normal, and the thing could explode.
You know, I mean, this is a very cynical attitude on your part. I was at the Indivisible Rally on Saturday here at the Civic Auditorium. There were 500 good liberals fighting to establish a more democratic, with a capital D, regime in our area. These are people who are fighting to make real change. Why aren't you among them, Keith McHenry?
That doesn't sound like real change to me. That sounds like more of the same. Pelosi maybe could get reelected. You think, what, Panetta? Oh, there you go.
Jimmy? Big Jim?
Jimmy Panetta. Voting with the Republicans every time. Beautiful.
Now, what I'm saying is that there seems to be a lot more activism in Santa Cruz. Do you find Food Not Bombs is getting more support?
Yeah, way more support. So I'm saying. Not only are we feeding more people, which that's not a good sign, but there's a lot of people show up. And the meals, like today, it was insane how many people were here. It was crazy.
How many people would you estimate you found?
I don't know. It was like 50, 60 people hanging around the whole area here. It was like a party. It was great.
Now, I've been talking to different people around here saying that they have been here, some of them, for the last week.
Yeah.
Every night, sleeping at City Hall. Indeed, illegally, not just sleeping at night, illegally being illegal in Santa Cruz, not just
people usually come here once a week, or they have in the past, to sleep on the sidewalk. But they've been sleeping actually under the eaves of the building. Understandable last night because it was raining, of course. But on the evenings before, these couch potatoes have been unwilling to be out in the open air here on the sidewalk in the more comfortable and commodious concrete area. Instead, they've been violating the trespass law
in
the park closing law. I mean, there's a sign behind you that says City Hall courtyard hours 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Isn't that enough time for people to enjoy the beautiful sculptured gardens that are...
Oh, my God. We could go in there right now and not violate the law. Why would we do that? Let's wait till it's too late. So, no, I've noticed that. In fact, it was very interesting the other day coming by here. There was a garbage bag where I always put the garbage bag. There was a broom. There were people everywhere. There were a whole rows of people there. There were a whole bunch of people up there. And then the police came in and took everybody's stuff, including the trash bag, including the broom.
This was about 3 or 4 days ago. I think Abby documented this.
Yeah, it was outrageous. That's right. And then, and it's ridiculous. Welcome. Excuse me. I'm not sure what he said.
I don't know. Not,
yeah, can we help you? You want to donate something or drink
good.
Some water?
Are we gonna...
Or have a radish?
Is Robin out here? Yeah.
Robin's right there. She's got her light on.
And radishes were all they had left, I believe. Usually when I show up at the Freedom Sleeper rallies or sleepouts, people are mostly sleeping and sitting around quietly talking. On Tuesday evenings, there's still a large bucket of soup, either provided by Joe Schultz of India Joe's or Food Now Bombs. But now apparently all the food had been eaten, as this was later in the month, on the 21st. Hunger becomes increasingly visible toward the end of the month, as I mentioned, I think, at the Red Church on the 27th, earlier this week. There was just a line that went all the way around the room, and if not the longest line I've ever seen, it was one of the longest.
She's doing what's got to go down.
Sorry.
Are you returning to the sleepout?
Yes, of course.
Would you like to give your name, ID number, and date of birth, bank account?
My name is Tyler, but I'll just give you that. That's enough.
This will be your first sleepout?
Yes, it will be, actually. Yeah.
You'll be wearing...
I hope it's not your last.
No, I hope not, but hopefully the police won't come either and come and disturb us.
Hopefully not. Probably so.
The government is having everyone wear a black triangle now.
I don't think I've heard that yet.
No. When you get imprisoned, you get to wear the black triangle. It's part of the Trump administration's new program.
Hey.
For that, there is this and that.
Clearly.
I don't know. It's I think it's interesting.
What's happening at the post office, where, as we know, the post office has finally gotten the long-needed protection it sought in the form of a chain-link fence?
Yeah. It's like they're building walls everywhere, fences everywhere. Trump's got his fence. Santa Cruz has got its fence. There should be a fence of coming in here pretty soon, which would be nice. I think... You know, there'll be fences all over town as appropriate, because...
You know, they fenced off half of San Lorenzo Park, right?
I'm not surprised. They should.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that about a week ago when I drove past.
Which side?
The children's playground, of course, has a fence, but beyond that, there's a much larger fence.
It's always been a fence around bocce ball courts or whatever.
Right, but beyond... Well, that's true. I'm not talking about where the children's playground is. And then beyond the children's playground, there's a large fence that actually lines the sidewalk and cuts off about a third of the grassy area.
Check it out.
Like between the courthouse and the...
No, between the... If you go beyond the duck pound toward the beach...
Oh, going that way.
There's that whole grassy area is now
It's fenced off.
Is it like a permanent fence or just a little fence for construction, like they like to say?
I don't think it has any notices on it. The construction is underway, as there is at the post office.
So. Yeah, that's really good. And I like the horse manure thrown on the wall there.
I heard your analysis. There was, of course, a claim. There was a claim on the...
Afternoon.
Hi. There has been claims on the Discus Sentinel comment line, that where people can make comment on Sentinel stories, that there has been poo-poo thrown around and feces around the post office, hence the need for a fence. And I inquired, because I made a comment, where is the poo-poo? And I was told it was on a certain location, a certain spot, and then you went and verified that there was some kind of manure, some kind there.
Yeah, and there. Whoever it is eats a lot of straw.
Horsing around, I suppose.
Yeah. And my suspicion is that most of the homeless people here in Santa Cruz do not own horses or cows. But clearly, and it looks more horse than cow.
So you claim that because you... Farmer Jones in you, or the Farmer McHenry, you know, not only a slaveholder ancestry, but a farming ancestry?
Yeah, or actually, I live in the summer.
Now, the point of this discussion was that one of the claims for the reason for the fence around the post office was to stop the dirty, uncouth, savage, mentally disturbed law of disobeying homeless people, was because they poo-poo all over the place and wee-wee, and then they sleep illegally and vandalize the property, though there's been no indication of any vandalism that I've ever seen at the post office. And that's kind of surprising in a way, considering the kind of rage that police and ranger activity generates. Maybe there was respect for the post offices, at least hitherto... I don't know if they call it tolerance, but at least benign neglect of homeless people sleeping under the eaves of their building. Although the post employees would come out when there was a rain and Food Not Bombs moved its operation under the eaves of the post office, though not blocking the front entrance at all, and demanded they leave and called the police, and the police said, no, we're not going to do anything about this. So there has been some prior federal hostility toward Food Not Bombs. But the notion that it just suddenly occurred to me that if you have a fence, that might stop people from taking a dump right next to the post office. I guess they'll start taking a dump next to the fence, or maybe they won't because it's not as well concealed by the little bits of shrubbery that still exist there near the post office. But the evidence that anti-Food Not Bombs and anti-homeless writers, commenters on the Sentinel website claim is an indication of all the feces and urine and so forth next to the post office is this bit of shit of some kind that there's a photo of kind of high up on the side of the post office. I believe it's the side, somewhere along the walls of the post office. And what Keith McHenry here is saying is that that he looked at it very closely. I mean, he got as close as he could get, considering the fence was there. And he saw that there was straw inside it, indicating that it was probably some sort of actual horse shit, and therefore put there by someone who had access to a horse, which kind of rules out most homeless folks in Santa Cruz. I suppose it could be a sympathizer from out of town who rode in and took a dump and then threw it on the side of the building. But in other words, it's an attempt to discredit and plant crap to discredit homeless people. Though I'm quite sure people, if they have no place to go at night, since there aren't any decent facilities open, take a crap where they need to. I mean, particularly people who are incontinent or have medical conditions for different reasons or are elderly. It's just, or, you know, rather than crap in your pants, or maybe in addition to crapping in your pants, which Brent Adams of the Warming Center has announced numerous folks that have come in, he's found that's to be a problem with them, and he's been very concerned about that, and good for him for doing that, or making that clear, or making that evident. And, of course, the issue is, it seems to me, if you set up a fence, You suggest that people aren't going to be able to, I guess I can demonstrate by throwing shit over the wall at the building, though I'm not aware that people have done that. Instead, in a remarkable and very sensible kind of protest action, they've decorated the fence with signs and ribbons and shoes and other things that sort of suggest that this is an attempt to exclude homeless people from the area. It's another part of the campaign of the city, the police, and some vigilante groups, and now the federal post office. I believe Abby Samuels is trying to get the records of any kind of... She was trying to get the records of any kind of involvement around the post office fence. I believe I got some minor response from the city in a Public Records Act request I haven't really looked at closely. I've gotten a number of requests sort of half-assed granted in the last few days, and I will be hopefully talking about those on Sunday. Now it's back to Freedom Sleep Out 89 and a commentary by Keith McHenry and others there.
Next to 6 horses and 50 cows.
So you have a certain familiarity with the rural life.
Yes, I do.
Did you actually do a chemical analysis of the poo-poo?
No, but I did take a picture of it, and I looked closely at it, and you can clearly see that it's horse manure.
In fact, the whole point, I think, is most of the criticism of the fence, I'll put it this way, most of the criticism of Food Not Bombs and the support of the fence, I would have to call horse manure as well. But then
I would say that is true. And then there was the pee-in that somebody put out and accused us of and brought a bunch of cops to the 4th anti-homeless fence decorating party.
Now, will there be a 5th, 6th, and 7th decorating party?
Yes, there will be. And we're hoping everybody shows up for that and brings their belongings and ties it to the fence.
But why would people want to tie belongings to a fence that is, shall we say, an obstacle to free access to the post office and to those who want to sleep there at night and get out of the rain?
To beautify it so that it's
beautiful backdrop for free expression.
Yeah, so a young woman came out there who works as the manager of the post office. I think her name is Cynthia. And was very angry at the posters and pictures and objects on the fence and took photos of all those, and then all we have is radishes and bread and water. Sorry.
Prison fare.
Yeah, we're trying to practice for the concentration camps. And at any rate, she was very angry, and she took portraits of me. I thought that was very nice.
Pictures of you. She didn't draw a portrait.
No, she took photos of just of my face. Very interesting.
Did you offer to give her a hug?
I showed her. I held and smiled with the poster. First they take come for the homeless and came for the homeless, and no one said anything, and so on and so forth. And,
rather than hear another rerun of this endless phraseology which has replaced my pungent commentaries in the weekly calendar on Indy Bay, driven away by certain paranoid people, I'll give you a chance to have the last word here, Keith.
Okay. Now, we're hoping that there'll be a general uprising and that everyone will come to all the events, and which the next scheduled one is 4 o'clock, or really the decorating portion of it, 3 o'clock Saturday at the downtown post office. Then one on Sunday, 3 o'clock, downtown post office, Santa Cruz, California. Freedom Sleepers every Tuesday afternoon around 3, and then on to the whole evening.
Come early in order to get a little food.
Yeah, you got to come. You know, we run out now.
And this, though it was recorded on the 21st and was referencing last weekend, is also true for this weekend. There is going to be a decorating party, I believe, at 3 o'clock on Saturday and 3 o'clock on Sunday, as well as the earlier events I mentioned at the Resource Center in the evening, and at the Speak Out reading of the Martin Luther King Vietnam speech. That's going to be on Sunday from 1 to 3. But there's also the Food Not Bombs feedings starting at 4, and the fence decorating party starting at 3. So check it out.
Oh, sadly, by 7.
Did Joe Schultz provide food today?
Yeah, we got 2 buckets of his food, and we had a huge pot of my food, plus we made a tossed salad, which we usually don't have, plus we got a lot more bread than normal, and the whole thing got wiped out.
Consumed.
And
as a consumer society.
And, yeah, it's really crazy. And then there's also been a whole issue of there being more than normal number of people eating every Saturday and Sunday at the post office. We're into over 100 virtually every time.
So you're drawing hungry mouths from other cities. Is that what's going on here, McHenry?
Nice.
Magnets are sort of like flesh draws maggots, like knits. Clarify that for me.
Yeah, well, these are people we know standing in line eating the food.
Local people are out of town agitated.
Local people, mostly, yeah. A couple of people passing through, but mostly local people.
I heard
people.
It said that people signing the petition in favor of supporting Food Not Bombs and against the post office fence are actually out-of-town people who have been organized by Food Not Bombs to engage in this kind of attack on our city officials or federal officials or wherever the hell.
Well, it turned out it's roughly the same proportion of out-of-towners for Food Not Bombs as out-of-towners for the Get Rid of Food Not Bombs petition. So even though it's like 1,200...
On your signature.
On want us to say there, and it's 120 on theirs. It's for, you know, it's the same percentage out of town. In fact, the woman who signed it, who sent the Robert Marbutt... link to the NPR thing about how to get rid of people feeding the hungry was from Vancouver, Washington.
He's trying to be helpful.
Yeah, that's how we kind of know about her.
I think we're going to leave it there. We're talking with
Keith McHenry.
And thank you, Keith.
Thanks for having me. Go to foodnotbombs.net.
Martin Marbutt, for those who may not have been following these broadcasts, is a guy who was hired by some southern city to because of his theory that if you feed people indoors, that will end or be more likely to end homelessness because it will put them in touch with services and will not enable their being out of doors and homeless.
I hate to make this like sad story, because this world is such a... And when I say this world, every day.
Everybody back off. You know, everybody's like, come on,
fuck on.
Instead of us just being like, slavery's bad, slavery's bad.
Bad white.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, let's stop it.
Jay Zook sure look cute in the black suit, but even cuter behind a barrel in my six suit. You look worried, because I ain't worried. Punks leave in a hurry, cause I thought worries making motherfuckers scurry. I feel the flavor from my single. It brings out single, I'm feeling stronger than a fucking man dingo in the house back for black history. I say strap and love the jack, look that slang that crack misery. And we don't need no more statistics. It's time to get more realistic for the young, the black, and the gifted. And until my people get uplifted, there's no poppin' shit, just poppin' clips instead of marching. We gon' rip shit. Some say the government will watch me, but they can't stop me. I'm dropping evil with the people as my posse. And even if they pull their triggers, they can shoot one man, but nothing's gonna stop the plan of truth, niggas. Being a nigga means you love niggas. But how could you love niggas if you tryna drug niggas? You motherfuckers need your cash bill. Cause when blacks kill blacks, we stay trapped, and that's real. Cause being a nigga means you love niggas. But how could you love niggas if you tryna drug niggas? You motherfuckers need your cash bill. Cause when blacks kill blacks, we stay trapped, and that's
me
real.
Me if I'm dreaming, fetch a scheming on me. Plus the devil's got a shovel and he's beaming on me. I try to make the system work for me. Some say why bother, I gotta make it that way. So they don't take it away from me, partner. When I was younger, ran wild as a kid. My neighbor won the lottery, I planned a robbery, I sure did. I'm pulling my gap for a reason, the second season. Leaving the scene with all the green, breaking more than even. I'm the quicker nigga, uppercut a sucker. The railroad's live on the jack move. You better back up.
that you love niggas if you trying to drug niggas. You motherfuckers need your caps filled. Cause when blacks kill blacks, we stay trapped, and that's real. Cause being a nigga means you love niggas. But how could you love niggas if you trying to drug niggas? You motherfuckers need your caps filled. Cause when blacks kill blacks, we stay trapped. And I got
two niggas banging on shit they can't see. In 1967, niggas still wasn't free. So when I came here, I had to learn the ropes. Put my pants to the side, slipped off my loafs. I stepped out into the world, which is new to me. I try to make myself true to my history. But fuck it, cause I'm a nigga that's making much leeway. Despite the trap and the punk bitch hearsay, the Underground Railroad is strong as hell. With the help of some brothers who won't let me fail. So we keep on striving with the title that was forced. But don't trip, courage, strength, and pride wasn't lost. So if they call you one, please don't get offended. Even though offense is what the kid intended. We are from a long line of true motherfuckers. So knuckle up and let them know you always spoke down for your brothers. That your niggas
be a nigga means you love niggas. But how could you love niggas if you trying to drug niggas? You motherfuckers need your caps filled. Cause when blacks kill blacks, we stay trapped, and that's real. Cause being a nigga means you love niggas. But how could you love niggas if you trying to drug niggas? You motherfuckers need your caps filled. Cause when blacks kill blacks, we stay trapped, and that's real.
Dedicate this to the real niggas. Real niggas. Not niggas like Iceberg, Slim, and the pimp-ass motherfuckers. But real niggas like Geronimo Bryant, Asana Shakur, Batum Shakur. Real niggas like Fred Hampton. Real niggas like Mark Clark. Real niggas like Malcolm X. Real niggas like Harriet Tubman. Real niggas like Sister Soldier. Real niggas like the Underground Railroad.
Cause being a nigga means you love niggas. But how could you love niggas if you trying to drug niggas? You motherfuckers need your caps filled. Cause when blacks kill blacks, we stay trapped, and that's real. Cause being a nigga means you love niggas. But how could you love niggas if you trying to drug niggas? You motherfuckers need your caps filled. Cause when blacks kill blacks, we stay trapped, and that's real.
Yeah, y'all better watch out for these motherfuckers.
Had enough luck,
yeah. Cause we ain't gonna be dressing and trying to rob you. We gonna be buying your motherfucking house.
Word, fuck that.
You gonna be sitting next to me in first class, motherfucker. A young 20-year-old, young black entrepreneur. I'm legit, so you can't tell me shit. Fuck them skinhead-ass niggas. Fuck the police and the Klan. Here's what we do to the motherfucking Klan.
We stay trapped by Tupac. You're tuned to the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris, and my show is called Bathrobespierre's Broadsides. You can reach me off air at 423-4833. Leave me a message. I'll get back to you. If you've got news about a possible place for Free Radio to set up a studio, we'll rent. We'll pay $500 to anyone who gives us evidence, clues, I guess it is, to find such a place. We need electricity, we need internet, we need bathrooms, we need lots of other things too, but those will do for a starter. And get in touch, 423-4833, or leave a message at freakradio.org. So there's some interesting stories on Santa Cruz Indie Media. The story that I'm looking at is Remembering Michael Randall Mears, and I'd read it, but there isn't much time left. I got about half an hour left in the show, and I want to play some more voices from the street. But you can go there and check it out, and I'll probably be mentioning this story later as we get closer to April 11th. That's, Freedom Sleepout 92, a Tuesday in front of the Santa Cruz City Hall, which is also going to be a city council meeting as well. And there are rumors that some ex-city council members, one at least, maybe two, will come to the sleepout, though people coming for one night to a sleepout doesn't particularly get me jumping up and down when there are people every night that need support. So if you want to support the sleepout, you don't have to come every night or even any night. If you come during the night briefly to document if you contact the organizers, and I'm happy to serve as a funnel for organizing at 423-4833. If you want to volunteer to come down if there is a police incident happening and document with video, that would be helpful. It does mean getting up in the wee hours. Or just checking in the morning and getting some accounts from people as to what happens. If you want to be involved in this process at all of documenting what's going on at City Hall on a nightly basis in terms of the rights of the public to peacefully protest, as well as to survivally sleep, engage in survival camping, I guess is the way I would put it. Get in touch, 423-4833, and get signed up as part of a essentially support group that may do very little but will do something, or may do a lot, who knows. And there's a video recently posted on IndieBay by Alex DeRosi, who has in the past done a lot of coverage of the Freedom Sleepouts, but it's headed, "Questions from Public Lead Santa Cruz Police Chief to Admit ICE Agent Embedded in the SCPD." And so far I have not been able to get any meaningful responses from my request that any correspondence between the police department and the ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement, as well as the Department of Homeland Security, about this ICE agent or about anything regarding the massive raids that happened on February 13th and provoked so much anger and alarm in the Santa Cruz community, and actually resulted in a mass of people stopping a city council meeting and demanding that the victims be heard. But they have refused to reveal, the police department has refused to reveal or show its correspondence. So we don't know who's telling the truth, whether it's Police Chief Vogel, who says he knew nothing about the ICE engaging in immigration stops. It's just they were just helping in a criminal pickup of gang members. Or the DHS ICE spokesperson, I think Schwartz was his name, who claimed, according to the Sentinel story, that they advised the police department what was going on, and the police department said, just don't use our police vehicles to store your victims in or our police station to hold them in, and we'll be there to help you, in essence. And we can't get a straight story because they're covering up the correspondence. I've asked Sandy Brown to also request the correspondence. She's a council member. I've also asked Christopher Crone to do it. He has not done it so far, and I asked him some weeks ago to do it. I'm going to be giving a longer report on the city council that happened last Tuesday, which was, I guess, the 28th. Most of that's going to have to wait till Sunday when I have a longer show, more time to do it, and I'll actually play some audio from that city council meeting. But it does look like things are looking up, at least in terms of at least one council member Sandy Brown, who met with me last Friday, and you heard that if you were listening to my Sunday show, agreeing to make written requests of the various staff agencies, the police, the city manager, the Parks and Rec, the city administrator, Bren Lehr, to get some things done, like to make sure that any claims against the city are clearly made public on the agenda instead of being concealed, as was the case with the Arlt claim form, or claims by the attorneys and by the Arlt family demanding justice and restitution for the slaying of Sean Arlt in October by SCPD officer Eric Bailey. She also made what I feel was a historic announcement, even though in a way it's, in a certain sense, rather trivial too, but it's historic and I'll explain this in a moment. The announcement was that items that are on the consent agenda, which previously only city council members could pull off, and if members of the public wanted to have them discussed at any length and ask for a staff testimony on them and address them as an individual item rather than as one of 5 to 20 items on the consent agenda as a bulk for which people are only given a total of 2 minutes to talk to any and all of those items as one big group of items, which was not the case in Santa Cruz in the past and is not the case at the Board of Supervisors now. She stated, at my request, and I think because it's also a restoration of the democratic process, what little remains of it in Santa Cruz, or wherever, whatever democratic process there ever really was, she will, if anyone wants to talk on a consent agenda item, she will pull it off herself, and all people have to do is let her know. I've asked Crone repeatedly to do this, Councilmember Crone. He's fumbled and mumbled and said he'd think about it and never done it. She did, and she did so in a forthright public statement. And good for her. Crone, however, did do something at the last council meeting, and again, I'll be going into this in more detail later on Sunday. He requested that all claim forms, for example, claiming the false actions by the police department, brutal or negligent actions by city employees, be made public with the contact information also available. I'm assuming that's also part of what he requested. He got blown off by the city attorney and diverted by Councilmember Matthews, who's never been a fan of much transparency. So we'll see where that goes. It's in a way a step forward. I was surprised, very surprised, because Sandy Brown has never seemed to me to be a militant freedom fighter when she was on the Citizens Police Review Board, and she is standing up. I say this is trivial because the problem with the city council is there's no real public involvement, and the staff gets all the time in the world to present its items, whereas the city, the community, gets no time relatively at all. They get 2 minutes if they're lucky. Mayor Chase, for example, though she restored the 5 o'clock oral communications time at 5 o'clock instead of at 6 or at 4 or whenever the chair had the whim to have it. Even though she did that, even though there were 5 or 6 speakers and she only allowed 2 minutes per speaker, oral communication time is traditionally cut off at half an hour. So more than half of the time was vacant. And the people who wanted to speak for 3 minutes, and we said we did, were not allowed to do that, and we repeatedly had to cut off our comments. And so the idea that, you know, in spite of Sandy Brown's standing up and saying she will allow people to speak on any consent agenda item, as was previously the case, before Councilmember Coonerty and Councilmember Rotkin changed that, and Councilmember Matthews, back in about 10 years ago, you can't really do much because the city council is primarily an organ for the well-to-do, the real estate interests, and those who are concerned with more development in the downtown area of an economic kind that benefits those who have money. Back to Pacific Avenue, either the day of Freedom Sleep Out 89, that's March 21st, or March 22nd or so, and listen in.
So I'm here on Pacific Avenue talking to a group of folks with two pooches and two hats, and there are three people. What's your name?
I'm J-Dub.
And you are?
Anna.
And you?
I'm Patrick.
Name of the dog is?
My name's Keita.
And the other dog?
It's Captain Milo.
Oh, okay. Well, you say that things have been pretty mellow here except for one incident of pizza hostility.
Yeah, man, this guy, I asked him for a slice of his pizza, and he really got aggro with us, tried to fight us and stuff, and then called the cops on us.
And did the police come and tell him to share his pizza?
I wish, man. They told us to walk the other way from him.
Yeah. Were you challenging this man to fight for the pizza, or were you just sitting on the bench like you are now?
No, I was walking past, man. I was chill. I wasn't trying to fight that guy.
And what's your version of this story?
He was just being an asshole. I don't know.
How long did it take the police to arrive?
I think they were around the corner anyways. We talked to him first, so. Yeah.
We talked to him before he. We talked to the police before he did.
What did they say to you?
I talked. Well, I told him what was going down. He was following us down the street, screaming at us and stuff. And I'm like,
What exactly was he telling you? What kind of advice was he putting out at a high volume?
I don't know.
He was just trying to fight us.
Yeah.
And our friends.
He wanted to do some boxing. He wanted a little practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was angry, man. I don't know why. I don't know why he was so hostile. But
I think it was an empty pizza box.
He was having
too.
A bad day, I think.
Yeah.
He was having a bad day, I could tell.
Now, what about other people? Were they supportive? Were they indifferent? Did they join him and demanding you be tarred and feathered?
No, there wasn't very many other people walking by or anything. We were just walking.
Yeah.
What time of day did this happen?
Probably like 11 o'clock this morning.
The pizza incident.
They almost had to fight some leftovers around the same time.
And how did that happen?
I don't know. I guess some homebum was setting his food down on the ground, and they picked it up, and he got angry about it. I don't know. I wasn't there for that one.
Food fight, huh? Have you guys been here before, or is this your first trip?
I haven't been through here before. They both have.
Seem any different than before?
And before we get into that, just a couple of comments. First of all, the food fight sort of subtext here, both the last comment made by the woman as well as the rage about the pizza request, kind of combined with you heard earlier testimony that Food Not Bombs is running out of food, indicates to me that there is a real scarcity problem, a real need problem happening. What with the cutoff of meals at the Homeless Lack of Services Center a couple years ago. I recently sent a letter to Phil Kramer, the director, asking when he's going to restore them. That was yesterday. He hasn't responded. He didn't respond to a similar letter a month ago. I don't think he's interested in restoring those meals, or at least he has nothing to say about it, nothing he cares to say to me. The second thing is that the police officer, if some homeless guy was running after someone, raging at them, and challenging them to fight, that's a violation of a state penal code. It's called disturbing the peace, and it has to do with challenging to fight. The fact that the police officer tells the homeless folks to walk the other way when they're the ones being victimized gives you some idea of the kind of class policing that's going on here, if this account is accurate. And it sounds pretty naive and straightforward, the account we're getting. They weren't complaining that the police didn't do anything. They didn't really ask the police to do anything. But the police, responsibility of the police officer is to take action when such things happen. And I'm not saying that a legal approach, giving people tickets, requiring them to come to court, is always the best approach. I think it's often rarely the best approach. But since it is the approach used against poor people, and it has the approach that's regularly used against homeless folks who are at City Hall. It happened, for example, at Sleep Out 92 nights ago when one woman was given a disturbing the peace or obstructing an officer ticket or some such thing and required to get arrested, actually. I think she was taken to jail. I could be wrong about that. It could just be just a ticket, but it is a ticket. There's no indication that maybe he was, this fellow who went into a tizzy after a pizza request, was given any kind of citation. So I'm just wondering if this isn't another indication of class policing in Santa Cruz and sort of the legacy of the slave catcher history of the really police departments throughout the country and the funding of the police that happened initially under the Clinton, that's Clinton, C-L-I-N-T-O-N, it's talking Bill Clinton, but with the support of Hillary Clinton in the 90s, the funding of all these police agencies so that they are now quite prepared to run out and pepper spray folks and break up demonstrations and massively uproot survival encampments such as they did at San Lorenzo Park in December of 2011 at the end of the Occupy movement without providing any kind of place for people to go. And do so regularly in cities throughout the country and in Santa Cruz when they harass and eject people from their survival encampments with no alternate facilities, and with indifference and almost with a mechanical regularity. That kind of behavior makes me very sarcastic when I hear talk about how police officers are really people, as we heard from, for example, the departing Swami. Yeah, they are people. So are Nazis. They are also people. All these folks are people. And it's amazing what people can do when they're in a robotic militaristic formation and engaged in policies that direct them to go a certain way at the risk of losing their job or their livelihood. Does that mean we should stand back and say, oh, it's only their job? I don't think so.
So far, it's been pretty nice. I've spent a Thanksgiving here before. It's always treated me pretty good here. I like it.
Yeah, they don't
okay. Well, we'll just leave it there then. We've been talking with...
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm Jesse. I'm with Post Comic J. Dub.
And I'm Robert. So, have a good night.
You too, man. I was in the library today, and this home bum was scared of my dog. And they told me my dog wasn't a service animal, and I gave them the service animal paperwork. And they still... kicked me out of the library.
Who kicked you out? You know, was it a woman, a man?
It was a big fat man, and the security guard didn't really seem to care. But I guess the guy that was like in charge. But really, my dog was chill, and this home bum was just walking too close to her, and she started barking. And I took out the paperwork and said, my dog is a service animal. He said, your dog's not a service animal.
Did he examine the paperwork or not?
I looked at it, but he didn't really, like, take it and hold it. And he's like, it doesn't matter.
He said it was a counterfeit material?
He didn't say. He just said it's not a service animal. I said, she's obviously a service animal. And that was kind of rude. But I wasn't really worried because I wasn't really doing anything anyways, so I just left.
And your first time in Santa Cruz, or you've been here for a while?
I've been here a couple different times.
What do you think of the town?
Oh, it's really cool. I like how it's kind of like, it's like close to the bay, but it's not all the crazy. So it's got some of like the attributes that the bay has, but not all of them, and it's prettier. So I like it.
And we've been talking with? Your name is?
Oh, my name is Patrick.
As you probably said before.
Right, I did.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Talking with
Jimmy Two Guns Gonzalez out of
we're at the library. It's around about 12:30, and we're up. It's March 23rd. Go ahead.
Well, just a sense of it, like the brains that came through last Tuesday. Okay, people were running about, and it seems like there's a new breed of recently hires or whatever we want to call it, because there was some compassion in the last groups that were hired. There was hand warmers being handed out. They would get socks too, and they kind of, you know, the rains were coming down. Now it's like if a business owner or a homeowner tells the police they want them out, man, the police are on it. Okay, and then you know if you don't move, you will move. That's it in a nutshell. It's hot down here, and whoever comes down here, they're rowdy. And they'll eat each other alive the same way they'll eat the cops alive. So it's like the Wild West down here. Maybe the third power. It's so lean down here. There's no meat on the bone that they take from each other in their sleep and in their waking hours 24/7.
You spend much time down here, Jim?
It's for a positive. It's for a positive thing. We're looking like, you know, we're looking like. Promoting a new podcast, Santa Cruz Night and Day, from lovely Santa Cruz via Las Vegas, Nevada. So it's a little twist, okay? And I've got...
I'll pity the fool!
A lot of meat...
Hang in there.
...that will keep the ears tuned in for days on end, you know? It's from the streets. It's like street team worthy. It's from the streets. It's what it's about. It's the trials and tribulations. Man, This down here, this is real, okay? And we're not a big city. We're just a little hamlet that has berries and marijuana, you know? But people are really mean and evil, man. And they'll hit one another, you know? And then the cops feed on it. It's just like an outdoor prison system.
And we've been talking with?
James Michael Gonzalez, Jimmy Two Guns.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right.
here at the library, I see two rangers. In a ranger truck, only one guy sleeping on the bricks. Windy and sunny day here. And the ranger's leaving our sleeping friend alone. And there's a couple more. Well, there's some packs of property, carts.
And I think the presence, someone with an audio device or a camera who's walking around, tends to deter harassment by rangers, police, and security guards. It doesn't always happen. It sometimes can be provocative. So, for instance, yesterday as I came out of the Huff meeting, I observed Officer Bradley Burrell, who I had previously had some positive encounters with, giving a citation to a guy who was sitting on the sidewalk, and I wasn't sure what it was, and Burrell wasn't abusive, and the guy was sort of mellow about it, and he took the ticket and walked away. And I walked up to Burrell and I asked him, what'd you give him a ticket for? And he said, I don't have to tell you, and if you don't, you know, if you're not helpful for me, I can't be helpful with you. And I said, no, you are. This is a public record, and if you're not telling me, you're obstructing an attempt to get information that's a legitimate kind. Well, you can go make a Public Records Act request, he said, in essence. And I said, yeah, I can, but you can also tell me and save us all the trouble, save your staff the trouble. If you're not doing that and you're doing so because of some personal animus, then you're not serving the public and you're not really doing your job properly. And I said, and I don't want to have to make a complaint. He said, oh, go ahead, make complaints. You can make as many as you want. I've had complaints made against me before, something to that effect. And I said, okay. I said, give me your card. And he said, oh, I don't have to give you my card. You know who I am. And while it's true, I'd spoken to him before. I didn't know who his sergeant was. I didn't know how to spell his name. Didn't know his badge number. Didn't have the contact information clearly with me. So he got into his car, and with a smile, he drove off. And the deal for me with Bradley Burrell, who actually I had some positive things to say about when he was a sergeant-at-arms at City Hall. He was directed by the city administrator to confiscate my recording device, which I had placed near the podium, as I always do, to record speakers at the city council meeting. And he walked up and said, if you leave it there, I'll have to take it. And I said, if you try to take it, I'll be holding on to it, and you will have to arrest me. And that won't be. I'm a member of the media. I don't advise you to do that. It's... I'm not disturbing the meeting, and you would be disturbing the meeting if you did that, even if you're directed to do that.